I'm on the team here at the church, and I have the privilege of speaking this morning. Trevor, our fearless leader and teacher, is with the middle school students this morning. And so he looked at me this week and said, well, you didn't talk too long last time, so we'll give you another shot this time. So we'll be teaching this morning. So if this is your first time here and you were checking out the podcast and you were, you know, watching sermons on the website and you thought, man, that Trevor guy, he's a great teacher. I can't wait to go there and watch him teach. Got to come back next week. Next week he'll be up here. But in the meantime, you know, this is your first time here, or if you've been with us for decades, we are simply a church that is committed to a Los Angeles, where every single person in every single corner of the city has experienced the life-changing power of the gospel. And so we want to help this city. We want to help them know Jesus and put him first. We want to help folks grow in faith, put more of their trust, more of their allegiance, more of their hope in Jesus. And gosh, we really want to equip people. We want to equip people to serve. To serve the folks in their house, to serve their neighbors, to serve the church, even to serve strangers in the city around them. And so we are in a little bit of a summer series right now in 1 Corinthians. And before we hop in, just to kind of give a broad scope of where we've been, back in December, we were in the season of Advent, in which we were remembering the arrival of Jesus into the world. After Advent, we hopped into the Gospel of John, looked into the historic works, teachings, and life of Jesus as recorded in the Gospel of John. That took us up through Holy Week, in which we remembered the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. And then just a few weeks ago, we celebrated Ascension Sunday, in which Jesus ascends to the right hand of the Father. And the following week, we remembered Pentecost, in which since Jesus had ascended, he sent the Holy Spirit into his church. And so this morning, we're in this letter that Paul writes to a church that has been filled with the Spirit. And as he's writing to this church, a bit of the mini-series within the series is about worship. Two sermons ago in the book of 1 Corinthians, which was about a year ago, Paul was talking about orderly worship as it regards head coverings and prophesying. Last week, we were talking about the Lord's Supper, how to worship well with the Lord's Supper, and how to do it in an ordered way. In the coming weeks, we'll talk about intelligibility in worship, how to worship in an ordered and in a precise way. And so this morning, we're talking about how to worship as it regards the spiritual gifts. So if you have your Bibles, whether in paper or on your smartphone, you want to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 11. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 11. I think Trevor secretly gave me this passage because I'm kind of the closet, culturally charismatic one that went to Oral Roberts University. So he was like, hey, we're going to give spiritual gifts to you. Now, as you turn there, I want to start with this. Life is hard, and it's difficult, and it's stressful, and sometimes you just need a way to unplug from everything that's going on around you. And so thank goodness sometimes for Instagram and YouTube, an endless source of videos to simply distract us and take our minds off the difficulties of life, even for 5 minutes. If you have found yourself in any kind of Instagram or YouTube rabbit hole, you've probably stumbled upon these videos where someone's on the 3rd Street Promenade or they're on the Venice Boardwalk, and they're kind of asking strangers questions about the nation or questions about civics or questions about sports or pop culture. And the questions and the people they like to highlight are the ones that have no idea what the answer is. And sometimes it's simple questions. Who was the first president of the United States? Who is our current president? Who's the lead star of the Los Angeles Lakers? And you see these people just a bit dumbfounded. Just this gaze washes over them, and they don't have the right answer. It also reminds me of that TV show, Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? Now, if you've watched that show, you recognized and you realized quickly, I'm not. I'm not smarter than a fifth grader, because you recognize fifth graders are wildly informed about all kinds of things, from civics to nature to science. They know more than I do. And so you recognize quickly that it's easy in life to become uninformed. Uninformed about what's going on in politics. Uninformed of what's going on in sports. Uninformed what's going on in pop culture, certainly uninformed to all the things that fifth graders are informed about. And when Paul's writing this letter about orderly worship, one of the primary things he's concerned with is that the church be informed. In other words, Paul hints at the fact that it's possible to declare Jesus as Lord. It's possible to profess your allegiance to him. It's possible to show up to worship and still be uninformed as it regards the spiritual gifts. So that's what we're picking up in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Paul has just finished talking about the Lord's Supper, and he says, now about the gifts. Now, this NIV translation probably isn't the best translation. Other folks say this simply says, now about the spiritual stuff, brothers and sisters. In other words, when Paul is talking to the church in Corinthians, there's something about the gifts. There's something about these spiritual things happening in their midst that are somewhat normative. He isn't talking about something they don't know about. He's talking about something they've experienced but are uninformed about. What is the reason for them? How many types are they, and where do they come from? And so Paul continues, now about the gifts or the spiritual stuff, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. In other words, church, it's a good thing to be informed about the gifts. It's a good thing to know what they are and what their role is as it involves worship in the church. He continues, you know that when you were pagans, I love when Paul does that, just reminds them, hey, don't forget, you've got a history. Don't forget, you've got a past. Don't forget, you've got blotches on your record. You used to be a pagan, and watch what used to happen. Somehow or another, you were influenced. You were led astray to mute idols. Again, other translations simply translate this as, somehow or another, you were led astray and carried off to the worship of mute idols. One commentator, when he's speaking about this, he thinks this is a hint at spiritual parades that used to happen in Corinth, to one god or to another. And you would join this big parade, and you would enter into this state of kind of ecstasy. And you would hear people prophesying and speaking in tongues and all kinds of ecstatic experiences. And you would be a part of this parade that would lead you nowhere, to some worthless, mute idol that could not hear your prayers, that could not speak to you, and that could not do anything on your behalf. For Paul, this is madness. Because for Paul, when it comes to worship, and when it comes to the gifts, it doesn't lead us nowhere to someone or to somebody or to some god or to some idol that can't do anything for us. On the contrary, in worship, when the spiritual gifts are used, it leads us directly to the throne room of God. The one that hears us, the one that can speak to us, the one that can actually do something on our behalf. And so he continues. He says, therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God can say, Jesus be cursed. Commentators aren't quite sure exactly what Paul is referring to. But there's this idea that this kind of thing might actually be happening in the church. And in which case, Paul says, anybody that is saying that in the church, they're not speaking by the Spirit of God. And in the same sense, they might say, there's somebody who's a part of the church, but because they haven't had a clean enough break with their pagan background, in which they used to worship other idols and other gods. Hey, I saw that person at church on Saturday or Sunday, and then on Thursday I saw them in the temple saying Jesus is cursed. And Paul is saying, if that's somebody that's living that kind of double life, they're not speaking by the Spirit of God. He continues. The second part of verse 3 says, and no one says Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, this is interesting. Paul is opening this section with now about the spiritual stuff, now about the spiritual gifts. Let's talk about the confession that people have. Jesus is cursed or Jesus is Lord. It reminds me of American Idol, of X Factor, of America's Got Talent. I actually love those shows. America's Got Talent more than the others, because you realize, gosh, America does have talent. There are some incredible, incredible folks out there. And when somebody has this amazing voice, or this amazing magician's trick, or this amazing balancing act, at the end of it, the attention is on who? It's on them. Look at me. Look at how gifted I am. Look at what a great singer I am. Sure, thank you to my parents and folks that have supported me, but look at me. In other words, in American culture, it's easy and even expected for the gifts that we have to boost our own ego, that the spotlight would be on us and people would recognize how great we are. And Paul says when it comes to the gifts, it's actually the exact opposite. When we exercise gifts in worship, it doesn't say, look at me. It doesn't say, look at how great I am. It says, look at how great God is. Look at how great Christ is. Jesus is Lord. So when we come to worship, one of the reasons for the gifts is that we would declare Jesus as Lord, to deflect attention from ourselves to Christ. We're going to stay in this same idea of the reason for the gifts, but we're going to scoot down to verse 7, where Paul continues. Now to each one, these gifts actually, they manifest. That idea of manifest is the gifts get put on display. They're available not just in your heart, in your own personal private time, but they're available for people to see, to experience. A light is kind of shine on the gift so that people might see Jesus and watch this, that the common good might be benefited. In other words, there's two reasons for spiritual gifts. Number one is declaring that Christ is Lord. And secondly, that the church at large would benefit, that it would actually be for our good. One translation says that it would profit others. In other words, the spiritual gift that you bring to the church in worship, that you allow manifest, actually causes people to look to Christ and profits your neighbor, profits the person next to you, profits the kids you do kids ministry with, profits the folks that receive communion on the way in, profit the folks that enter into the presence of God because of the worship up here. Our gifts are to deflect people's attention to Christ and to benefit others. That's the reason for our gifts. The second thing we want to talk about is the types of gifts. Now, Paul goes on a pretty lengthy expression of the various types of gifts, and so we're going to be sifting through these verses pretty quickly. Watch this in verse 4. Paul says, there are different kinds of gifts. Verse 5, there are different kinds of service. Verse 6, there are different kinds of workings. Verse 8, and to one there is given a spirit or a message of wisdom. to another a message of knowledge, to another faith, to another gifts of healing, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. In other words, Paul says, there are all kinds of spiritual gifts, not simply a narrow list. And some of these spiritual gifts are more accessible than we might think. Now, some of us operate in these gifts to greater degrees. Some of us have these gifts kind of naturally, intuitively, on kind of an everyday level. Some of us have these gifts on turbocharge. That's okay. It's good that the gifts are on a spectrum. But I want to talk about a few of these gifts just briefly, even though we could spend an entire series talking about each one in depth. When Paul talks about this message of wisdom, commentators would say he's referring to the idea that the world is upside down, that the wisdom of God is Christ crucified. Now, some people are able to proclaim that message of wisdom to folks on an everyday level, and again, some of us have these on turbocharge. The next is some have a message of knowledge. Folks would say, separate from the idea that the world is upside down and those who are last will be first and those that serve will be greatest and the cross is actually the great wisdom of God, knowledge is the idea that we can teach these things, that we know the scriptures and we can instruct folks in the way of the Lord. When we talk about in verse 9, faith, we all have faith. We're all here and we've put our faith and our allegiance in Christ, but some of us go to bat for the other person by exercising their faith on behalf of somebody else. Jesus talks about a faith that can move mountains. He continues, to others, gifts of healing. We're all called to pray for one another that we might be healed. But some folks, again, they have that on extra. They actually have gifts of healing. To another, miraculous powers. We don't talk about that a lot, but gosh, I'll take one or two of those. To another, prophecy. The idea of prophecy is simply telling the truth about a situation as God sees it. It's easy for us to look at things through our lens or through a political lens or a cultural lens or a pop culture lens, but prophecy says this is how God actually sees it. And when someone speaks a word of prophecy, it hits us afresh and causes us to lean into repentance and back to Christ. To another, distinguishing spirit, simply discernment. To another, speaking in tongues and the interpretation of tongues. Now, a quick note about me. If you've been in a community group with me, you know I probably have some bizarre eating habits. And the eating habits are simply this. I've got a real narrow menu. And not for any reason, but I'm a creature of habit. So every single morning, it's a breakfast burrito. Most afternoons, it's Chipotle and it's steak. And in the evenings, it's In-N-Out. And some of you that are nutritionists are thinking, Austin, we need to have a conversation after this service. But that's me. I'm focused and I'm narrow concerning what I eat. And when I go home, I'll be talking to my folks. They say, hey, what are you eating now? I'm like, well, I'm eating the same thing. And they'll say, you know there are other things you can eat, right? Like there's Italian food and there's Korean food and Vietnamese food and all kinds of great food out there. But no, I'm focused. These are the only ones that I really want. When Paul's writing to this church in Corinthians, he's listing this large list of gifts because the church in Corinth is focused on one or two. They're really only concerned with the gift of tongues and the interpretation of tongues. And when folks think about a message of wisdom or knowledge or healing or faith, the church in Corinthians, we're not interested in those. We're just interested in tongues and the interpretation of tongues. And Paul would say, this is to your detriment. This is not for your good. God has all kinds of works that he wants to give you, all kinds of gifts, all kinds of acts of service, all kinds of ways in which the Spirit will be manifest through you and be put on display, and you have such a narrow, limited experience of God because you're only concerned with one or two of these gifts. And if we're honest, sometimes in the church, when we come to church, we're only concerned with serving in one capacity. I only want to set up and tear down. I don't want to do anything else. I only want to speak. I don't want to do anything else. I only want to play music. I don't want to do anything else. I only want to work with kids. I don't want to do anything else. And Paul would say, all of those things are good. All of those things are great. Yes, set up and tear down. Yes, play music. Yes, speak. Yes, work with kids. But broaden your scope. God has all kinds of other ways that he wants to use you to deflect people's attention to Christ and to benefit the church at large. Church, let's expand our scope. There's all kinds and types of works and gifts and service that we can use in the church. And finally, I want to talk about the source of these gifts. Watch how Paul talks about these. This is again beginning in verse 4. Different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. Watch how many times he says Spirit. Different kinds of gifts, same Spirit. Different kinds of service, same Lord. Different kinds of work, but it's God that works in all of them. Notice a little bit of Trinitarian language there. Paul wants to contextualize this use of the word Spirit in the idea of the Trinity, and then he's going to go back to simply using the word Spirit. Now to each one manifest the Spirit. Through the Spirit, a message. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers and prophecy and distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues. All of these, every act, every service, every gift, every miraculous power, every healing, every wonderful thing comes from one and the same Spirit. This reminds me of my parents. I love my parents, and I'm thankful I get to see them on a fairly regular basis. And I was reflecting on growing up in my house with my mom and my dad, and I didn't realize it at the time, but they were my source of everything, right? If I wanted to go out with my friends, there was no way to do that but through my parents. If I wanted to go to the movies and I needed $5 for it, can you believe movies used to cost $5? If I wanted that, had to go through my parents. If I was having a difficult time with friends and I needed some advice, it was to my parents. If I wanted to have friends over, had to go through my parents. My parents were the source of everything as a child. And what Paul is saying to the church in Corinthians is that in the same way that when I was a kid, my parents were the source of everything, for the Christian believer, the Spirit is the source of everything. For a Corinthian church, this would have been a radical call for some of them to repentance. A radical call to obedience and a single allegiance to Jesus. See, we can never forget the culture of Corinthians. Corinth was filled with all kinds of temples, all kinds of gods, all kinds of idols. And it wasn't uncommon for a believer on Monday to go to this temple to try and receive this gift by giving this offering, and on Tuesday to a different temple with a different idol to give that gift to give a different offering and receive a gift. They could go to there were so many temples and so many gods, they could go to multiple every single day of the week to receive a gift from this god, to receive a gift from that god. And in Corinth, that was the norm. Not only was it the norm, it was expected. And so there's this subtle current in this letter. Corinthians, if you're going somewhere else to receive a gift, to give an offering, and to worship, repent. The Spirit is the one and only source for life and for godliness and for gifts and for us bringing our lives two. So the reason for the gifts, not to glorify self, not to expand our ego, not that people would look at us and think at how great we are. The reason for the gifts is to deflect attention to Christ, that people would say Jesus is Lord, and that it benefits and profits the the people around us. Secondly, the types of gifts are multiple. And God wants to use all kinds in and through us in different seasons and in different ways. Church, let's expand our scope on the ways that God might want to use us. And finally, church, every single gift, every single good and perfect thing, every source of empowerment is from the Spirit. And watch this. This is the final verse, verse 11. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes and He gives to them, each just as He determines. Determines is can feel like a very determinative word, a very kind of strict, harsh word. But the idea is that He does this just as the Spirit pleases. In other words, it pleases the Spirit of God to empower you with gifts, to point people to Christ, and to benefit others. It pleases the Spirit that you would come to church with gifts, that you would allow them to be manifest in small and maybe large ways, that people would worship Christ and it would benefit others. When it comes to the spiritual gifts for Paul, this was a normative experience, and it pleased the Spirit to distribute them to God's people. Let's pray this morning. Spirit, we pause for just a moment as we can kind of see the folks that are around us here, even folks that are worshiping online with us. And we just want to get a sense of your smile on us, the sense of joy and pleasure and delight you have in gifting every single person here with power, with service, with gifts, with workings, that when people encounter that gift or that service or that working, it causes somebody else to look at Christ and say, wow, how wonderful Christ is. Jesus, in fact, must be Lord of everything, second to none. And that it delights you, Spirit, to help us to serve, to work, to encourage with words of wisdom and knowledge, to pray prayers of healing, to speak truth to people through subtle, gentle, but provoking words of prophecy. That it delights you for us to do that it might profit the others around us. And so, Spirit, we just ask you in a really kind of unique, in a really fresh way, in the season ahead of us as a church, would you fill us? Would you fill us with your Spirit, that we might serve in ways and express these gifts in ways that we're comfortable with, and for this church at large, that we would begin to serve and work and experience the gifts we have not yet used yet. And so, Spirit, would you fill us? It's in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit that we pray.